SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Northern Territory Police Commissioner has announced the end of a snap curfew imposed on Alice Springs. Commissioner Michael Murphy said in a statement yesterday the 72-hour stay-at-home order, which barred access to the CBD from 10pm to 6am, would end at 12:55pm local time, saying there were no reasonable grounds for an extension. Renewed clashes in Alice Springs threatened to extend the emergency measure imposed on Monday after a series of violent incidents. Mr. Murphy said that during the past 3 days, police engaged with 159 people, directing 93 to leave the curfew area, and there was one minor event which saw several people arrested. This comes after the Mayor of Alice Springs, Matt Patterson, said the controversial curfew imposed at the start of NAIDOC week had been working in reducing incidents. NT Police Minister Brent Potter said Wednesday's incident was not a reason for extending the order.
We know more about the incident that occurred yesterday and the circumstances behind it. It is the police commissioner's discretion. He doesn't believe he needs to extend the curfew. We also need to look at what the curfew was intended for, a short, sharp circuit breaker related to alcohol-fuelled violence and assaults after dark.
The Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, says the government is committed to a truth-telling commission. The failure of the Voice to Parliament referendum last year was seen as a major blow to the cause. But Ms. Burney has told the ABC truth-telling is not just a government issue, and communities right across the country are taking up the issue in a variety of ways. In NAIDOC week, Ms. Burney says she doesn't feel Indigenous affairs is a bipartisan issue, saying the coalition are spoilers for refusing to support the Voice to Parliament. However, she says the fact millions of Australians did vote for the Voice to Parliament, the emergence of young Indigenous leaders and the attention on Indigenous advantage were all silver linings to the referendum's failure. Federal Social Services Minister Amanda Rishworth says the government stands by the decision to abolish the so-called cashless debit cards even after mixed findings in a newly released review by the University of Adelaide. The policy was introduced by the coalition government in 2016 to reduce social harm at a number of sites around the country, affecting a number of Indigenous communities. The card quarantines 80% of a person's welfare payments on a debit card that cannot be used to withdraw cash or buy alcohol or gambling products. A 2022 Australian National Audit Office report found the program was not meeting its objectives, and it was scrapped by the Albanese government that same year, with ministers saying that would allow participants to access cheaper food and goods. A review by the University of Adelaide noted mixed reactions to the scheme's end, with most participants believing the program's end was a positive step. A small number of past participants say the scheme's end had led to poor decision-making and financial coercion. Minister Rishworth says the report needs to be read carefully.
What I would point you to in the report is that it was clear that no causal link could be drawn as a result of the changes that we made from removing the compulsory cashless debit card that didn't help people actually manage their money. So what we moved to was a voluntary income management program. We will continue to work with communities around what actually makes a difference.
Almost $10 million will be provided to First Nations organisations to support Indigenous students. The GO Foundation, which supports Indigenous students during their education through the preparation for the workforce, will receive $4 million, whilst the Aurora Foundation will receive $4.5 million, with hopes of doubling its capacity across Australia. Education Minister Jason Clarke says this will help make Australians' education system equitable.
We've got a good education system in Australia, but the truth is it can be a lot better and it can be a lot fairer. I often talk about the point that young people from poor families, young people from regional Australia are less likely to finish school and less likely to go on to university than many other children in Australia. And that's also very true of Indigenous Australians. And if we want to fix that, if we want to close the gap, if we want to turn that around, it's the sort of things that the Aurora Foundation and the Go Foundation are doing that can help us to do that.
An area of land and sea bigger than Tasmania is being set aside to form 12 new Indigenous protected areas around Australia. The federal government has announced the areas, which will be managed by local First Nations corporations. In the New South Wales Belinger Valley, the coast will be protected along with the koala habitat and Gondwana forests. Local jobs for First Nations people will be created, adding more than 700 positions which already exist around Australia, managing Indigenous protected areas. Dean Kelly from the Yurunga Aboriginal Corporation says that's one of the most significant benefits from this announcement.
The meaningful employment options that are going to come out of this for my people from this land, where they actually get to do what they believe in, look after the land that they were raised to look after. I think that's the real beautiful part that I want to see come to fruition.
The federal government has announced Australia is to provide an additional $250 million in military assistance to Ukraine. It's the largest single Australian aid package since Russia's invasion, bringing the country's total military assistance to more than $1.1 billion. It comes as world leaders discuss the conflict at the NATO summit in Washington, where Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles is in attendance. Australia's largest international air combat training activity begins today. More than 4,000 personnel and 140 aircraft from 20 nations will take part in Exercise Pitch Black in the Northern Territory across the next 4 weeks. The Philippines, Spain, Italy, Fiji, Brunei and Papua New Guinea will take part in the exercise for the first time, which will be the largest iteration of the event in its 43-year history. Peter Robinson, officer conducting Exercise Pitch Black, says he's excited to have the Philippines involved.
One of the ones that we're most excited is to invite the Philippines for their first time to Exercise Pitch Black. And it's a reflection of the professionalism of the Philippines Air Force, and it's a reflection of what the Philippines Air Force might learn from the other nations here, but it's also a reflection of what we'll learn from the Philippines Air Force as well.
The head of Australia's Olympic team says she's not worried about security at this year's Games, as she announced the finalised Australian squad before departing for Paris 2024. Australia's 460-strong contingent, one of the largest in the nation's history, features a high proportion of women than any previous Games and is likely to be the third largest delegation this year. There have been safety concerns after violent clashes that broke out in Paris when people took to the streets to celebrate a shock win in the general election for the country's left-wing coalition. The head of Australia's mission, former cyclist and two-time gold medalist Anna Meares, says she is confident athletes will remain safe at the Games set to begin on July 26.
Security obviously is still a priority for us, and it has been right along the way in terms of our preparations for the Games. We know that there's been unrest and riots and protests in Paris. This is normal. This is how they express themselves. And we know that Paris has been able to put on big events in the past, as they have with the Rugby World Cup, with minimal disruption.
Indigenous rangers in Queensland are using drones to locate koalas as they work to protect koala populations ahead of cultural burning. The practice has been used by First Nations people to improve the health of the land and reduce the risk of uncontrolled fires, with the use of small-scale burns that consider the types of plants and animals living in the area. The training has been done through the Quandamooka Yulabarabi Aboriginal Corporation. Kia Morgan is one of the first to complete the cultural fire and drone training on North Stradbroke Island. She told charity WWF Australia that it has been exciting finding different tools to maintain an Indigenous approach to land care.
I was just flying drones as a hobby, and then when I got approached to do this project, it was really exciting for me. We did some night training with thermal imaging, which was really interesting. I think the collaboration between technology and traditional owners and looking after the environment is really important, because traditionally we know the ways, we know how animals are, but just having this technology to help is really important, and it's going to get us a lot further in our research.
The achievements of 10 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have been recognised at the 2024 NAIDOC Awards this week. The awards held on Saturday evening in Adelaide recognised the contributions of First Nations people in their communities and celebrated Indigenous excellence. The NAIDOC Person of the Year is Aunty Muriel Bamblett, a Yorta Yorta elder. As the chief executive of the Victorian Aboriginal Childcare Agency since 1999, Ms. Bamblett has advocated for Indigenous children to be raised with connection to their own culture. During her speech, she made special mention of those working in public service.
To all the people that work in the public service, to all the people that serve every day, our people in policy and education and justice and family violence, child protection, I honour you because this award would not be possible without all of those areas working together for better outcomes.
First Nations filmmakers in South Australia are getting the opportunity to showcase their work to a wider audience with Adelaide the focus city for this year's NAIDOC Week. Around 100 people attended the Black Reels event at the Art Gallery of South Australia, watching three short films by First Nations creatives. Among the films was the multi-award-winning documentary Dripped in Black. It follows the journey of a queer theatre artist as he returns to his hometown in Central Australia for spiritual healing. The film's writer and director, Derek Lynch, told NITV he wants those in the First Nations queer community to know it's okay to seek help.
I think it's very important to tell my story and to share it in terms of mental health. Mental health is what, you know, we suffer as queer First Nations people because we get overlooked at, and it's so very important to put this message out there. It is okay to be, you know, queer, and it is okay to stand up and be strong and be loud.
And that is NITV Radio's news wrap of the week.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.